What you're about to listen to is a BriFi production.
Comic book reviews. Nifty nerd news. Heroes vs. villains. Hey everybody, and welcome back to the BriFi Podcast. I'm your host, BriFi, your comics guy, and I'm recording from home for the first time in a long time. That's why the mic sounds a little bit differently. Also, I am starting to come under the weather, so that's why my voice sounds a bit different. It's because, unfortunately, I'm getting a little bit sick. However, this is probably good news for Comic Palooza's sake, because I get the illness out now, right? Like, get my sickness done now, plenty early, time to recover. That way, when Comic Palooza comes around May 24th through 26th, I'm stronger than ever. Excuse me. So my voice is a little bit raspy. I gotta like clear my throat a little bit more. But if my wife was any indication that I should only be sick for probably like the next 2 to 3 days and then be done and over with it. But then again, my wife is way stronger than I, so than me. See, my brain no worky because he's sick. But you know, because she's tough and awesome and a woman, and I am just a sad little man that does a podcast. But I'm excited to get this done and out of the way, so that way I'm healthy for Comic Palooza, which is what, man? It's like 2 weekends away, man. 3 week? Yeah, I think it's like 3 weekends away, man. Like we're in the countdown phase, man. So I'm excited. And I hope you guys are too. If you haven't gone to comicpalooza.com to check out, one, to get your tickets, two, maybe get a hotel that's next to convention, or three, see what's all going on, like vendors and scheduling and stuff, I'm here to help a little bit. One of the things that has, it's funny enough, like, who would have thunk it? But one of my favorite things at Comic Palooza is the car show they do. If you're not familiar with it, it's called the Itasha? I don't know. I'm really bad at things like this. The Itasha Showdown. That's what we're going to call it right now. And it is, really, it's like just people showing off their cars and stuff, which is really cool, where they're doing, they have amazing wraps on the cars, paint jobs. They like have them all decked and themed out in different things that are just really amazing and like span all types of pop culture, from comics to cartoons to anime, video games, and music. I've seen cars that have, like, talking about the video games, like games in the trunk that you could play. There's ones that are showing like movies in them. There's some that are from movie sets in them. It's just a really cool thing. It's really awesome, and it's a great like art piece to go check out, walk around, get to view all the different cars and all the different like paint jobs and wrap jobs that they do on them, see all the little things that they have inside to just kind of showcase their fandoms, man. And definitely you'll see themes with these cars. Some of my favorite ones, there's like a Thundercats one that I've seen before. There's some Naruto ones that I've seen that are really cool. And then I think, was it last year or the year before, they had, what was it, the T-Bird from Greased Lightning there, which was really badass and really cool to see. And it was a lot bigger than I thought it would be. Like, that was a really cool thing about it. But so it's fun, and it takes up quite a few cars, man. It takes up a nice big space. Like, it's on one side of the convention. It's always on the opposite side of the celebrities and everything. So if you go one way and you bump in the celebrities, just, not that you should turn around and go the other way, but if you want to see the cars, turn around and go all the way across the George R. Brown Convention Center. And to me, it's always fun. It's always a good little time, a good little chance to just kind of slow things down. Sometimes there's less people over there, which is really nice, but it's a cool way to just get to view some things and see some really neat stuff, which is what I really like about it. But what's also cool that they do over here, so maybe like big cars aren't your passion, but you're like into something a little bit smaller. They have RC cars. Like they have a Comicpalooza RC Car Expo, which you can check out, and it's along with the Atasha Showdown stuff, and they have these cool like 1-to-10 ratio drift cars. So like, if you ever seen that, so I love, for whatever reason, I'm just love watching YouTube videos of these drift RC cars. I think it's really awesome, really badass. And then there's also a 1-to-28 ratio Mini Z racing cars. And those are really cool to watch race around a track and stuff like that as well. And my wife and I, we kind of sat around for a little bit just to kind of watch it. Because I love RC cars, so it was really fun to watch. I don't think my wife was into it as much as I was. But what's also really cool is between the exhibition races that they'll be doing throughout the weekend, you might be able to have a chance. I think you have to be 12 or older to drive one of the Mini Z RC cars. So that's a pretty cool way to get involved with what's going on in this. And it's an interactive exhibit, which is really cool and really fun to see. So that's definitely something I think you guys, if you're interested in cars or RC cars, I think it's something really cool to check out that weekend. Because I know I sure will be. Of course, that's not the only thing that's happening that weekend. Comicpalooza has tons of other programming that you guys should check out. But that's one of my favorites. One that I always seem to find myself gravitating towards every year that it's been there. But that's about all that I have for Comicpalooza, guys. Stick around, because we have some really neat, nifty nerd news things to talk about. Alright guys, up first in the nifty nerd news, I have been closely watching the ups and downs and ups and downs of what's been going on with Helldivers 2, the video game. If you're not too familiar with it, it's essentially Starship Troopers, but a lot more hilarious, at least watching people play. I mean, the game looks very serious and action-packed and awesome, but watching people play on Twitch and just all their streams is absolutely hilarious. But when the game first came out, man, this was like game of the year type excitement and hype, and people were loving it, and it was living up to that, man. Gameplay seemed pretty slick, and it really made me think maybe PlayStation's not all that bad, you know. But then, you know, I found out it was on PC, and so I've really been eyeballing wanting to buy this game. Like, It looks fantastic. It looks like a hell of a good time. But then Sony announced that they were going to force PC players to get a PlayStation Network account, that having that linked to your Helldivers was going to be mandatory and required. And that didn't go over very well for most of the player base. Because as it turns out, there are a lot of countries, for whatever reason, that do not support PlayStation Network. Like, you can't get PlayStation Network in certain countries. In some of those countries, you could still play Helldivers 2 if you were on PC. So that led to a lot of people being like, you created this game that we paid for, and now you're going to put it behind some crazy lock that we can't get to. And it's like you stole our money from us. So a lot of people were upset. Plus, there was a bunch of other people, PC players mainly, who didn't want to have to get a PlayStation Network account, just like a third-party account, just so that they could play this game. And I kind of see the frustration with that. It's something that I've dealt with some Ubisoft games, where you have to have an Ubisoft account to play these games, which I'm not... like, I'd put up with it and I'd do it, but it's not my favorite thing. So, like, I understand that. But Helldivers 2 players took this to a whole new other level. They said, you know what, we're going to take a page out of this game and get some mandatory democracy going. And they review bombed the hell. I mean, I guess this is like democracy, but they review bombed the absolute dog shit out of Helldivers 2 on Steam. And it went from a mostly positive game to a mostly negative game with over 200,000 negative reviews in a short amount of time, which was like the craziest nosedive I've ever seen a game do review-wise. But I mean, a lot of it was, and most of it, and all of it, pretty much all of it was driven by Sony's announcement that they were going to force players to have a PlayStation Network account. Thankfully, Sony has a good PR team or a heart or something, but they have decided to reverse that decision and are now no longer requiring or managed democracying that you have a PlayStation Network account to be able to play Helldivers 2, which now gives me a little bit more hope in wanting to purchase and play the game myself, because I've just finished finally playing Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. Finally beat all the downloadable content, and I can move on to something new. But then I started playing Fallout 3, so maybe I can't. Because I have this weird thing where when I start playing a game, it's very hard for me to pull away from it to play other games, because I need to finish this one. I have to complete it. It's the stress of someone with ADHD or OCD or something of the D's. Anyway, moving on. The president of Nintendo announced that you should expect to hear an announcement on the next Nintendo console sometime this year, which is the weirdest way to say we're going to announce something. I mean, let's face it, the Nintendo Switch, which this shocked me when I realized this, first came out in 2015. That was almost 10 years ago. It has been 9 years since the Nintendo Switch has been released. And that was the year my son was born. My son was alive has only been alive for the Nintendo Switch. I was looking back and I was like, man, I wonder what Nintendo came out when I was born. It was the regular NES, but like not the first year it came out. I think the first year it came out was like 1986. But in 88, the most popular console that was being sold was the NES action set with Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt. So I'm old. I'm as old as Nintendo. But I thought it was pretty cool and pretty interesting. But I'm actually really excited, man. My Nintendo Switch has probably been one of my favorite consoles to have because of the portability of it and because the Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom games have been just absolutely holding this console together for me. I mean, and I love the Pokemon games, don't get me wrong, but spoiler alert, I was very disappointed with Scarlet and Violet. It just didn't live up to my expectations that were set by Pokemon Legends Arceus. But like we talked about in an earlier podcast, a new Pokemon Legends game has been announced, and so I'm excited. I'm hoping they learn from what Arceus did and expand on that. And in fact, okay, we're going to take a tiny break from Nifty Nerd News to kind of just tell you one of the things I hate or I just don't like about Scarlet and Violet. And it's something that I love in Pokemon Legends Arceus, is the way the Pokédex works. So if you've played any of like the mainline Pokemon games, the Pokédex is an encyclopedia of sorts, or a source, or whatever you want to call it. It is an index of all the Pokemon. So you capture, like, you see a Pokemon, it identifies it, and it populates information on it. And the whole point of the game is to fill out the Pokédex for, like, when you play the originals for Professor Oak, he invented the Pokédex. So you have to get the information on the Pokemon for the Pokédex. But it never made sense to me how that information ends up on the Pokédex, because all you did was capture this Pokemon, and now all of a sudden it knows everything it needs to know about this Pokemon? No, I don't buy it. I don't like it. However, in Pokemon Legends Arceus, you have to do different tasks with that Pokemon battle it, make it use certain moves, and interact with it like X amount of times, and it's a lot. And then once you've done that, the Pokédex filled and information gets filled out. I think that's a better representation of how the Pokédex should work, because you're studying a Pokémon. That's what the Pokédex is, right? It is a study of a Pokémon. And Legends does this perfectly. It makes it fun gameplay mechanic where you can either capture, you have to like capture so many, you have to see them do certain amount of moves, and either defeat certain types of Pokémon that it's strong against or weak against, like some crazy stuff like that, or feed it berries and things like that. And I feel like that makes it immersive. That makes it make sense. That makes filling out the Pokédex that much more complete and satisfying, because not that you're putting, I mean, you are putting in more work to do it versus filling out a Pokédex in a mainline game, but it just, it feels more rewarding and gives more context to having to battle the same type of Pokémon over and over again, instead of like running into 500 Zubats in Mount Moon and just wanting to pull out your eyes because you can't stand running into another goddamn Zubat. But in Pokemon Legends, it's great running into that many Zubats because I need them to help me fill out my Pokédex. So get on it, Game Freak, Nintendo, Pokemon Company. It's not Game Freak anymore, I know. But the Pokemon Company, like, learn. I mean, I get it. Legends and Pokemon Legends was in development at the same time Scarlet and Violet were, so you couldn't really pull from the other, and you didn't know what was going to really work in Legends. But now you do, and now you know you need to bring it over to the main games. End of soapbox. I'm sorry. That really should have been saved for the end, but I just couldn't hold it in any longer because Nintendo. Anyway, moving on from one company that makes me mad to another company that sometimes frustrates me, Disney. Their CEO, Bob Iger, has come out to say, hey, we're going to start limiting the amount of Marvel content we put out a year. Because, you know, we're doing Marvel, we're doing Star Wars, we're doing reboots of all our animated stuff. So, you know, we need some time. Or we want to focus on quality over quantity, which I agree. I think that's a great idea. However, they're going to limit themselves to 3 movies and 2 series a year, which, when you think about how they have been releasing movies, is not really all that much less. I mean, I guess to some extent, yes, it's less, but that's not less. 2 movies a year at most, I think, because then you could really focus on making these movies and making them the best they could be. And then, I mean, 2 TV shows I think is fine too, but maybe one that like works in between the movies. I still think they're trying to do too much, if I'm being quite honest. And they really need to slow down. Maybe make a longer series, or like, I think they should only do 3 things a year. 2 movies, 1 series, 2 series, 1 movie. Like 3 things, you know, you do 1 in the spring, 1 in the summer, and then 1 near the holiday season to kind of like tie things up or like be the thing at the end. I don't know, but I feel like 3 is a good number. 5 is a lot, because if you want me to watch your Star Wars stuff too, which are you going to limit to 3 or 5 or 9? Like, you gotta think about your company as a whole. I mean, I get it. Disney's huge, and Disney can do anything it wants to do because the things that it puts out spans multiple ages and different demographics, where different people are going to watch different things. But at the same time, you're going to spread yourself out too thin, which we've seen them do, and we've seen the consequences of that. So come back. Come back even further, man. Bring it down to 3. Focus on doing 3 really great things, and then maybe throw in a 4th. And then if you're really good at what you do, then you can throw in a 5th. I mean, look at what they did with the first Avengers and moving on. Like, you know, the first half. Like, we always go back to the first half because, I mean, honestly, that was lightning in a bottle, but that was like, it somehow worked perfectly. They didn't have a bunch of hits. All right, well, they did have some misses. That's probably the better way to put it. But at the end of the day, it was still a well-crafted overall story that led to an amazing story arc at the end. I think the other thing is, too, we're focusing too much on the Avengers, and we really need to, or like, it has this feel of like it needs to be an Avengers movie, and I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but I don't know, man. We'll see how it plays out. You got the X-Men, they're going to be coming soon. Deadpool, of course, is going to be out before that, and then you have the Fantastic Four, which should be coming out pretty soon, too, so I don't know. Disney has a plan, and I guess we just need to see that before we make all our final decisions, eh? And then the last bit of nifty nerd news we have today, I found very fascinating. So the Tokyo Police Department has announced that they have arrested a high-ranking member of the Yakuza, like one of their leaders. And he was caught stealing Pokemon cards. Which kind of tickles me. Because one, I get it. The economy's bad and it's hurting us all. But Pokemon cards. And it wasn't even just Pokemon cards. He stole some other things and 25 Pokemon cards. And all of it together was worth almost $1,400 American. I can't remember. It was quite a bit in yen, but roughly translated to $1,400 in American U.S. dollars. American U.S. dollars and U.S. dollars. But I don't know why this tickled me so much. I mean, one, I guess because, you know, through media and the years, I've had this very hardcore take of what the Yakuza is. And I'm sure, and I mean, not that I'm like, oh, I'm sure, like, not that they embellished it, but it used to be a lot worse. I think, one, it's a testament to how well, like, Japan and Tokyo and Japan as a whole have cracked down on crime over there and cracked down on not just the crime syndicate or the Yakuza over there, but the companies that would work alongside them for gains on either side and cracking down on that. And I also think just people are starting to realize the risks aren't worth the reward as well with the Yakuza. And so you've seen a pretty steep down decline of the Yakuza and its member side, like the membership and stuff. And, but it's crazy because, you know, like in movies and stuff like this is the thing. Like, oh God, you don't want to piss these guys off, man. They're in things. Rush Hour, I think they're in there. The Fast and Furious movies, I think they show up at one point. So like, they ain't no joke. But then a news article like this comes out and one of their leaders is arrested for stealing Pokemon cards. And it kind of just makes it seem a little silly. Then again, you know, it's still the Yakuza. So I'm not going to say the dude's name or anything like that. He might come over here. He might steal my Pokemon cards and I don't want that. Because I think I have a little more than $1,000. Well, no, I don't think I have anywhere near $1,000 worth of Pokemon cards. Maybe 200. No, I have a Charizard that's worth over 100. So definitely have more than $200 worth of Pokemon cards, but not much more. And I just, like, I want to see the picture. I want to know which cards he took and how valuable they were. Or was it like someone had two booster packs that he just picked up of, like, Temporal Forces, the new set? Like, that's what I don't know. Was it like trash cards and then he really stole like $1,400 of real things and then two booster packs? Or was it like, oh no, like the Pokemon cards were worth like the $400 or the $1,000 of what he stole? But you know, it's kind of funny when like you think about stealing Pokemon cards and stuff. One, Team Rocket is real, but two, in like the grand idea of things, and as I'm thinking about it, and I've heard other stories of people stealing cards and things like that. Stealing and selling, reselling Pokemon cards is kind of, not that I condone this or and say you should do that, but it's easy, right? Like, you can't trace that. You, like, there's not a serial number on my Pokemon cards. So, like, if someone steals my Alakazam. Like, I have a base set Alakazam that I'm really proud of. It's not a first edition, and it's not a perfect mint, but it's got some scratches on it, and it's not shadowless. It's just a base set Alakazam holographic that I really like. It's one of my favorite cards from the base set. But there's no serial number attached to it. There's nothing that is an identifier to, hey, this is my Pokemon card. Now, if it was a graded card, they have barcodes and stuff, so the graded cards are harder to sell, but the ungraded stuff, you could just grab, put on eBay. No one would know, because, like, what am I going to do? Tell the police, hey, I'm missing an Alakazam card, and this guy is selling an Alakazam card. There's no way to know unless I, like, had an actual video of this guy busting into my house, walking out, showing it to the camera, like, oh, I got you, Alakazam, abracadabra, I'm gone. No, so there might be something to this. Maybe the Yakuza is on to something, taking Pokemon cards, because there are expensive cards. Now, Pokemon might not be the way to go. You probably want to look at Disney Lorcana or One Piece. Actually, One Piece is probably the way to go, because the shit that's coming out of One, actually, I don't even think the Yakuza could get One Piece cards, because anytime a set gets put out in stores here, it's immediately gone. The entire booster box display is gone. I can't find starter decks. The One Piece cards are the most insane and hard to get items that I have ever tried to get in my life. And it is frustrating. And then you go online because you're like, oh, well, of course I could buy them online. And the prices on them are so over the top insane, dude. And these cards individually go for ridiculous amounts. So, like, Pokemon has, like, alt arts and shinies and secret rares and stuff. Well, One Piece has, like, manga art rares. It's artwork with, like, the manga printed on the background of it. And some of those cards are going for over $1,000 right now. That's enough to make this Yakuza guy's, like, theft super petty. I mean, it is petty theft already, but even pettier, because I could get that amount with one card if I could find it. And it almost might be worth just investing in the booster boxes, because if I pull the one card, I'm probably going to get the return on my investment and then some. So there's your scheme right there. But, like, even in Disney Lorcana, man, like, Disney princesses are going, like, their alt or their enchanted alt art variants are going for $300-$500. That's insane, man. Now, granted, Pokemon has some good high-selling cards, but they're very old cards, like base set and, like, a couple years after that, that you're going to see, like, your thousands of dollars and stuff. But, like, the newer stuff, no. The highest cards that I've seen on the newer stuff are, like, maybe over $100, but I don't think I've ever seen anything new over $200. So, like, if you're looking for fast cash, now I can speak. You need to look at Disney Lorcana or One Piece, if you can get your hands on them, that is. But that's theft tips with Bri-Fi. Kids, don't do that. Adults, you shouldn't do it either. Stealing is wrong. Do not do that. But if you want to try to make money and you like gambling on trading cards, One Piece and Lorcana. There you go. And then, you know, throw in some Pokemon for the nostalgia effect. I just love Pokemon, so that's why I do it. But, like, I've been watching the One Piece anime, so it's got me into those cards. But, like I said, they're impossible to find. And then the Disney Lorcana is still one that, like, I'm so interested in, and there are some cool cards, but I'm so scared to get heavily involved with buying the booster packs. Because, I mean, they're just as expensive as Pokemon cards, but I don't know, man. I don't know. But that's it, guys. That's it for the podcast this week. Thank you guys so much for listening and be a part of it. And don't forget, Comic Palooza, May 24th through the 26th at the George R. Brown Convention Center in the beautiful, luxurious downtown Houston, Texas. I will be there. There's going to be some great guests. John Cena is going to be there. Michael J. Fox is going to be there. The doc whose name I can't remember from Fast and Furious. No. From Back to the Future. Oh my God, why can't I remember his name? It's going to come to me after I finish this podcast. But tons of guests, artists, writers. Chip Zdarsky's going to be there. Sorry, I've totally spaced what I was going to say. And I got a headache now. My illness, I think, is finally... I'm going to succumb to the illness now. I think as I've recorded, my voice has gotten raspier and raspier. And so I apologize for that, guys. But just remember, I'm getting sick now so that I can be healthy for Comic Palooza. And I'm going to stay away from raw chicken so I don't get violent food poisoning like I did last year. But more tips with BriFi. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to the episode this week. We will see you guys next week. BriFi out.